You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Nabil Ayouch's latest film, Horses of God, tells the story of two young soccer-loving friends, Yashin and Nabil, and Yashin's troubled older brother, Hamid. It's set in the slums on the outskirts of Casablanca. When Hamid is arrested and sent to prison, he returns a new man who's been radicalized by Islam. He's become a fundamentalist and quickly recruits his younger brother and friends with disastrous results. It's based on the horrific 2003 bombing of Casablanca that killed 45 people and opens at the Film Forum this coming Wednesday. I'm very pleased that it brings director Nabil Ayouch to our show today. Welcome.
Thank you.
Now, didn't you grow up in France? What made you want to tell the story about Morocco?
Yeah, I grew up in the suburb of Paris in a city called Sarcelles that was somehow a little bit like the shanty towns around Casablanca, you know. The big city is very close, but also in the same time very far. You cannot get an access to it. So I felt when I was a young boy somehow a little bit cut off from the economical development, the progress, and so on. And I had some difficulties, of course, also in terms of education. So that's why I was very interested to the story of those young boys.
But until fairly recently, I would think it would be difficult to make a film of this sort in Morocco or any of the North African countries because the king of Morocco was rather repressive. There were repressive governments all along. Censorship was really strong. Is that all gone now?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, the new king, Mohammed VI, which is in the power now since 15 years, 1999, changed it completely. I mean, there's a freedom of speech. There's place for artists, for press, also freedom. So this is like an old part of Morocco.
So that's part of the appeal of making a film there rather than making it in France, which has this very great cinematic tradition?
I think that cinema is an collective adventure, and I wanted to be part of the Moroccan team because so many exciting things are happening there everywhere. I just don't want to make only my own movies. I'm producing young talents. I'm helping people like those from City Movement, the shanty towns, to express this talent by giving them some means, some tools.
So the actors in this film are not professional actors? They're people you found in City Movement?
They're all non-professional actors. They all were born in the shanty town.
Very impressive acting.
Thank you. And they knew the suicide bombers. They have their own personal stories, of course. They're not suicide bombers themselves, but they prayed on the same mosque. They played in the same playground. And what I liked is that they brought me their own truths in this film.
Well, you don't make the bombers into complete villains. Are you seeking for us to sympathize in some level with these suicide bombers?
I wouldn't say sympathize. I would say understand, because we have this general idea that all those suicide bombers are the same, and we have also this wrong idea that violence comes from nowhere. But violence has a source. Violence doesn't come from the sky, and I wanted people to understand that if a 10-year-old boy can turn into a suicide bomber, there are reasons for that.
The film's been praised for being more realistic than any news report. Do you think it's important for Western audiences to see this and understand? Because most people, when they see a suicide bomber, they think, unless somebody was totally suicidal, why would anybody want to do this sort of thing?
I think it's important for Occidental audience to hear another point of view than the Hollywood movies on this topic, because this is a very important topic. I think it's important for Occidental audience to hear that non-education, that being cut off from the rest of the society, that doesn't receive love and care from family, destruction of the family and father authority, these are one of the reasons that make those young old boys find violence as a source of expression.
What's been the reaction in France and in Morocco? because it's been shown in Morocco already, hasn't it?
Yes, and the good thing is that people understood their part of responsibility, because being a citizen here today is not only a right, it's also duties. And when they saw the film, most of them came and told me, wow, we're living so close from them and we've never been there.
It's also beautiful to look at. Do you get good technical crews in a country like Morocco?
Yes, we do. You know, we greet lots of foreign crews, some American, European ones. We train the crews, and yeah, we have good technicians, yeah.
Jonathan Demme, talking about Americans, the director of Silence of the Lambs and many other films, has been a champion of your film since he first saw it in Morocco. Did he just come up to you and say, boy, I really think this is an extraordinary work?
There was a very special moment at the Marrakesh Film Festival when Jonathan came out from the room. He was almost crying, and of course I was very moved by that, and he hugged me and he told me how he loved the film, and this was the very beginning of this adventure with Jonathan.
Because I would assume that it might have been difficult to get distribution of a film like this in the United States unless you had somebody like Jonathan Demme saying, pay attention, despite the fact that the film is obviously a very fine film.
Sure. No, you're right. I mean, since Cannes Film Festival, where we've been selected in the official selection 2 years ago, it was a long distance to arrive here in the U.S. because the market is complicated for films like that, independent movies from the rest of the world, and because also of the topic, I guess.
My guest is Nabil Ayoush. His film, Horses of God, opens in 2 days from now at the Film Forum in downtown Manhattan. It's inspired by a novel, isn't it? Mahi Binabine's The Stars of City Moomin?
Absolutely, yeah.
So how much of the original story was in the novel, the real event, and how much has wound up on the screen as well?
Well, I took some freedom with the reality of the story. This is not biography, of course, and also with the book. I kept from the book the characters because they're very strong, and their environment, because this environment, of course, plays a part.
Now, at the beginning, we realized that Yahin and Nabil are really close. Just because they both love soccer?
No, because they're brothers, because they love each other, and because the older one is protecting the younger one.
Mm-hmm. The older one is a loose cannon. He is a troubled person, and he winds up going to jail for 2 years. But he's in a society where, at least the film makes the suggestion, that is rife with macho sensibility. Most of these young men seem to feel it's important to prove just how manly they are.
Yeah, you could say that. And you could also say that it's easy to brainwash those young boys in such environment like a jail or a shanty town where all the doors are closed.
How different has Hamid become after he returns from having spent 2 years in prison? He seems to have an eerie calm.
Calm and very radicalized, as you said, inside of him. I mean, he met some radical Islamists inside the jail, and they changed him. So when he comes out, he's not the Hamid that Yashin knew before that.
Meanwhile, the other people, the boys' soccer team, the Stars of City Moomin, is the major escape for most of these kids. Their mother lives her life escaping through soap operas on daytime television. Is that what life in the slums is like in a country like Morocco?
It is. I'm sad to say that because this is my country, but this is a reality. Not only in Morocco, I should say, but many countries in South America. You can find it also in Africa.
Are you suggesting that radical Islam is another form of escape?
Well, it is, because when you don't have a future, and when some people come up one day and tell you, I'm going to give you a future, even if this future is not bright, even if this future has become a martyr, you jump into it very easily, yeah.
Why would martyrdom be so appealing for these young men? Because they have no future?
They have no future. They have no connection with the rest of the society because they're missing love. They're missing, job, employment, education, and because we just simply forgot about them. That's it. I mean, everybody forgot about them.
The film has been described as more of a character study of children growing up without hope than a portrait of a terrorist in training. You want to make that distinction?
Yes, absolutely. I think that it's important to make this distinction, especially for an Arab film director, once again.
Well, are you continuing to make films in Morocco?
Absolutely.
Is financing ever a problem?
Well, yeah, we are pretty lucky in Morocco to have the state which is engaged for cinema and to help film directors to do films. So on that side, yeah, I would say compared to other countries of the Arab world, yeah, pretty lucky.
How is the bombing remembered in Morocco? Are there people who remember it as a positive thing, or does pretty much everybody think that that was a terrible moment?
It was like an earthquake for us. I wouldn't compare it to September 11, of course, but it was an earthquake because it was the end of the age of innocence. You know, Morocco was built on tolerance, a mix of races, religions, Muslims, Berber, Jews, Christians, Africans. I mean, all those people built the mosaic that is Morocco. And that day, 14-year-old boy, they came to the center of the town and they bombed themselves, killing themselves and dozens of innocents. And when they did that, they chose a Jewish cemetery, they chose a Jewish cultural center, a Spanish Casa de España, an Italian restaurant. So they targeted those targets that make the Moroccan identity, DNA. So that's why it was for us something that we didn't understand. But the thing is, we thought at that time that those people, they were coming from the camps of Iraq or Afghanistan. But when we heard that those boys, they were coming from 5 miles away from our places, it was a double shock.
It was different than other kinds of suicide bombing. I'm thinking of the Battle of Algiers, but that was against colonial powers. There was 9/11 here. There was the Madrid bombing. There were the London bombings. But this is people doing it to their own people.
Exactly.
Although one of the boys does run away.
Yes, and this is the good part of the story. Because they have their destiny in their hands at the end of the day. And it's not because you are born poor that your destiny should be to become a suicide bomber. You can see it in the films. I mean, otherwise there would be millions of suicide bombers. And one of them, and maybe not one, two of them in the real story, they decided to run away at the last minute. Mm-hmm. So it gives you faith in human being.
Well, I know that if anybody ever coerced me into becoming a suicide bomber, I would run away at the last minute.
You wouldn't.
Meanwhile, what is your next film?
Well, I have different projects. One is a documentary film, very ambitious about love in the Arab world. And another one is also talking about the Arab world, is a futuristic movie about how it's going to be in 50 years.
Now, could this film also have been shot in the slums outside of Paris, where there are an awful lot of disaffected Arab youth?
Totally. That's where I grew up, and it's exactly the same traumas that we experienced in the suburb of Paris, yeah.
The film opens on Wednesday at the Film Forum, 209 West Houston Street, and it will be running until the 27th of this month. For more details, you can go to WNYC.org. My great thanks to Nabil Ayush, who made the film, for being on our show today.
Thank you for inviting me.